Okay, then other things that happen in families is that I think is important is acknowledging our own faults. Yeah, this relates a little bit to the discussion this afternoon where we were talking about anger and blaming people and how easy it is for us to get stuck in our own position. We reify our position and I'm right and you're wrong and you've got to change, and we hold on to it forever and ever, and it can create a lot of resentment in a family. That's really quite tragic. Okay, so, and like I was saying before, that when we don't speak to different members of our family, we're teaching our children how to relate to their family, yeah, to their siblings and their parents and their kids. So to take care about that and to acknowledge our faults, when we've made a mistake, to be able to acknowledge it instead of getting hooked into our pride. I think it takes actually a lot more courage and integrity to apologize than it does to stubbornly hold on to our own position when we know that we're not correct. Yeah, and I think that, you know, the real courageous thing to do is to apologize. And it clears the air. And even if the other person, you know, isn't ready to accept the apology yet, still, from our side, the important work has been done because we've cleared our own mind and we've made peace with the situation, whether or not the other person has. And I think this is quite important, you know, especially if, you know, you have relatives that you haven't spoken to in a long time because you're holding a grudge. You're waiting for them to apologize, and I'm not going to apologize until they do. I'm not going to forgive them until they apologize. You know, we're the ones that suffer so much from this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something I see in my own family. And, you know, whenever there's a wedding or some big family occasion, it's very difficult for who's ever hosting it to figure out the seating chart. Because, you know, this one doesn't speak to that one, and that one doesn't speak to this one, and this one doesn't speak to that one. And it's all totally ridiculous. Yeah? Whereas if people were just able to acknowledge their mistake and apologize, you know, I think things could really move forward. Because when we hold grudges like this against relatives, we suffer a tremendous amount. And we may hold on to some idea in our mind, well, before I die, we'll make up somehow. But, you know, we don't know when we're going to die and how we're going to die, and we don't know when or how they're going to die. And we can't kind of wait, you know, for forever, you know, for some fairy tale circumstance to happen. But, you know, if we feel that we really want to heal a relationship, we have to take some initiative and swallow our pride and, you know, go and say something to the person. One of my friends, we attended our very first Dharma course together in 1975. And we were introduced to Dharma at the same time, started practicing, did Vajrasattva retreat together. He was about, I don't know, he must have been 20, 25 years, maybe 20 years older than me. I mean, quite a bit older than me. He had a daughter. He lived in Northern California, and his daughter was in Southern California, and they hadn't spoken in years and years and years. And a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, he went down to LA, and he saw his daughter, and I don't know what happened. Something happened, but they saw each other, and they made up, you know, and they reconciled after all those years of separation. And about a month later, after he had come back to Northern California, some friends of ours found him dead in his flat. You know, just of a heart attack or a stroke, something like that. And I couldn't help thinking, you know, how wonderful it was that he was able to see his daughter and reconcile with her before he died. Because, you know, dying with that feeling of separation from somebody you care about can be very painful. And I also thought how fortunate for the daughter that that happened before her father died, because can you imagine, you know, having whatever conflicted emotions you have about your father, and then he's dead and there's no possible way for you to reconcile. So I think that situation was very fortuitous for both of them. You know, so it really behooves us, since the time of death is indefinite, to not wait to heal, you know, relationships where there's been some separation, and to make an effort to apologize to the people we need to apologize to, and to forgive the people we need to forgive before either they or we die. And like I said, sometimes they may not be ready to see us. That doesn't matter. The important thing is that from our side we've said it. You know, either said it directly or we've written to them or whatever. Sometimes they may not be ready to accept it now, but they'll accept it, give them a month or a year, and they'll come around. You know, they just need some time. Sometimes they've been waiting for years and years for us to come, you know, and what we say is just the small trigger for them to have a big release of negative emotions and really put a lot of, you know, release not in the terms of dumping them on you, but releasing, like letting them go. And it can be a very healing thing for that person if we apologize or we forgive. Yeah, so especially within families where things can be so painful and so tight, I think it's important to try and keep relationships clean, clear, and if they get murky, to try and make them right as soon as we can, you know, and as best as we can. And another thing that, you know, with the whole apologizing and forgiving thing, is try, you know, to be mindful of situations where we push their buttons, okay? Now we all know how they push our buttons, and our buttons are our responsibility. We have to work with them instead of blaming, you know, if we get offended by what they did, we have to own that ourselves and work with our own button. But we also have to be careful of our accidentally, deliberately pushing our relatives' buttons. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, you know your family members really well. You know what ticks them off. You know how to say something ever so subtly that's going to get to them, and then you play totally innocent afterwards. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does this go on in your families at all? You know, you just know, it's the slightest, smallest little way of looking at them or word to use, you know, and you just pretend that that came out accidentally. And, you know, you may have consciously been doing it, or subconsciously, you know, without being really aware of our negative intention to harm them, you know, but try and, you know, to be more mindful of these things. And, you know, when has my motivation gone off course and I am attacking a relative in an ever so subtle, seemingly innocent way? You know, and correct that within ourselves. Or, you know, when we attack a relative in a not so subtle, innocent way and we really lay it on them. Yeah? And what kind of effect does that have on the entire family when we really lose it and, you know, start a big quarrel at a family gathering? I mean, I've heard of things like that at, you know, Thanksgiving gathering, and, you know, one of my friends had a situation where her father just started doing his old thing, harping on her, and, you know, she started doing her old thing of whatever it was, and then she just picked up and left the family dinner and hasn't spoken to her father since. And I can't help but think, wow, you know, I mean, she hurts a lot about it, you know, but so does he. And it's kind of a tragedy when this happens, especially when, you know, everybody in the situation is acting out their own buttons and the other person is almost irrelevant to the situation. Do you know what I mean when I say that we're acting out our own buttons and the other person's almost irrelevant? You know, because we just have our same old behavior pattern. You know, we're really push button, aren't we? You know, push my button, I don't care who you are, where the thing is. I act the same way, you know, and totally lose it. And so, you know, to try and look and see, you know, what are those situations where we do that, and to begin to, you know, restrain ourselves from that, and then to begin to also look at the motivation and the feelings that underlie that.